Talk Radio with Michael, Neil, Phil, and the gang.
And we're live. Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us again here on Song Talk Radio, the podcast where songwriters share tips on songwriting, and we talk about stuff as well. But tonight, this will be our first songwriting challenge. I think it's our first one, isn't it?
Ooh, I believe so.
Yeah, I think it is our first one.
If it isn't, then I wasn't there for the first one.
We asked for song starter suggestions from our listeners and chose one. Turns out it was from our tech, Don, although he wasn't our tech at the time. So it's okay. Please don't call the police, but more on that on a bit. My name is Phil Emery, and of course the gang is all here. Neil Modi, how you doing, Neil?
I'm doing very good. Very excited for the show tonight because it's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun. It's just a family one. And, of course, the man who never stops bragging about his shoes, Michael Proudfoot.
Nice shoes, Mike.
Am I wearing my old man shoes now? And a haircut that makes me look like a state trooper.
That's true. And on the board thingy, it's Don Thompson. How you doing, Don?
I'm doing quite well tonight.
Yes, you're going to be doing a whole bunch of stuff today. It's going to be, and Michael's also going to be doing social media.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
I am doing it even as we speak.
All right,
in fact, working
I'm
so hard,
sending out a picture of my shoes.
You
How exciting.
And we're super excited.
Shoe Talk Radio.
And we're super excited as our Linda Lavender is back. Yay!
Hey, Linda.
Hey.
Linda put out her latest CD, The Unforeseen, not too long ago, which is awesome. So you should get it. And we'll add a link to the show notes so that you can buy. And that's like iTunes and all those places.
All those places, CD Baby, Spotify, iTunes, my website even.
Yeah, you can also get your car.
Yeah, right.
If you want an autographed copy, then what do you do?
Just email me or, go to my website and there you can send me a message and I'll send one out to you.
And one other way, our first listener to write in, we have a CD to give away.
Yes.
Linda's. Her latest release, or is this?
It is my latest release, 2019.
Yeah. It's got a funky, cool cover too.
So send us an email, feedback@songtalk.ca, with the subject line "Unforeseen."
Yeah. That's good.
And we'll send you a CD.
Right. And, of course, during the show, send us an email at feedback@songtalk.ca. Send us a tweet at Song Talk Radio or something on Facebook. Let us know what you think of the show or what your impressions are, and we'll mention them in real time. Before we get into the meat of today's show, we've got some very exciting news. A longtime friend of the show, songwriter and producer Alistair Bradley, has won the 2019 UK Songwriting Contest in the Adult Contemporary category for his fantastic song, Can't Start This Fire.
It's a great song.
Excellent.
Yes, it's a and he's an amazing songwriter.
We'll have to have him on again.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, he's great. He's he was actually on our show. We did a songwriter's application. Show.
That's right, yeah.
And that was great. So hopefully Alistair will come back on. And songwriting contest is at songwritingcontest.co.uk and you get a whole bunch of prizes, although I haven't heard back from him to know what he is exactly won. But
it's too big for us now.
That's true.
It's probably cold hard cash.
He has people now, probably. And quickly, there's a really interesting article on the rise of Billie Eilish. Eilish on by David Turner on his Penny Fractions blog. You want to just quickly mention that?
It doesn't take away anything from her creativity or what she's done, but it does kind of shine a light on the mechanics behind her rise, how she got discovered so early and how she was actually one of the people at an Apple Music project support development group, and how she got her manager, all of this sort of behind the scenes, and also how she was being used by bigger corporations to prove that streaming worked. So none of that was really apparent when she broke, but it's an interesting look behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't take away anything from her creativity and how good,
the case when you see a quote-unquote overnight success is that there's really years and years of work behind
that.
Yeah,
and I think it's probably better in that way because if anyone had any delusions that, I can just post something to SoundCloud and I'll become a big hit like Billie Eilish, It doesn't really work that way.
No, no. And it's but in truth, like
it works like that way for Little Mass, in Old Town Road.
Now, if I can speak as a marketer, in all honesty, even with great marketing, you still need to have a great product. So, you know, they might have a whole bunch of marketing, but if the product's not good, it's not going to last. Yeah. And she's really talented, regardless of how she got there, you know.
Exactly. Well, I was just supposed to say it takes talent plus marketing plus connections plus knowing people.
Yeah, I'm sure it was her plus talent luck that made them go, okay, we can use you to demonstrate.
Yeah. Yeah, if she was a talentless hack, they wouldn't even bother to look at her.
So. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And it's very definitely it's connections and who you know, and you do need to know people.
So we'll post that link on our site.
We shall.
Okay.
All right.
So who's ever posting the show this time? It wasn't me. So
check the schedule.
Check the schedule.
It's either you or me.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
On to our song challenge. So Neil, why don't you tell us about how this thing works? This is your kind of baby, I think.
Well, actually, the reason we brought Linda on the show was kind of her baby.
It came from her, something that she'd been through, right?
Well, yeah. So Linda, way back when she was part of our team, had brought on a song that she wrote from the Toronto Songwriters Association, where they did just like this monthly challenge, and then we thought, well, why don't we do that on the show? So we solicited to our listeners back in end of November.
Don't make it seem like we had a lot of time.
Yeah, we did have a lot of time. We didn't use all of it, but we had a lot of time. And we asked our listeners for a songwriting challenge. They give us a one-liner, give us a topic for a song, whether it's musical, lyrical, both, either or, whatever.
Yeah, like one was, what do you see on your way to work?
On your way to work on a winter commute. I forget what the other ones was, like, don't use any
vowels or something.
Don't use any prepositions or something like that.
And then
some were lyrically restrictive, but the one that we liked had to do with both the music and the lyrics.
Yeah, and that was the one that Don had sent us. And Don, you want to tell us what that is?
minor key and positive, happy lyrics.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, because typically, you know, in a prosody sense, if you have happy lyric, you have happy music.
Sad lyrics,
you know, so this is a kind of a clash. And there's, of course, there's lots of songs that are flip of that, where it's happy music and dark.
That's
lyric,
true.
Right? But yeah. I don't think this flip is done as often.
So yeah. We've all kind of done our songs. Let's talk about the impressions of this challenge. How did you find it, Michael?
Well, let me see. So I love the idea of it. So I was very excited. And then it took me forever. It was very difficult. I started out with one idea and went down that rabbit hole, and it didn't pay off. And then I went down another one, and that didn't pay off. So really, thank God we had a snow day two Saturdays ago. Because I'd come up with a vague idea, and Neil had been kind enough to help me with a drum track. And luckily, he had that snow Saturday time to make a drum bed for me, and that helped me pull it all together. But I had started with entirely different lyrics, and so it was hard.
And what did you think about the actual writing process? Did you have any sort of insights from the?
I do like working to a deadline, but normally I set the deadline, so there was something about that inflexibility. Usually I start from a point of inspiration, whether it's a chord sequence or an idea or a melody or a lyrical thought. And this time I didn't start with any of that. Internally, it came from the outside. It was imposed upon me. So I did struggle with that for a bit.
Right.
But I end up with something I'm pretty happy with. I will kind of offer a couple of caveats. One, I think this is like only the fifth song that I use Logic as my DAW, and this is only, I think, the fifth song that I've made on it. So I'm still learning the production,
right,
mixing mm-hmm. aspect of things.
Now, how about you, Don? What was your impression about doing this?
Well, at first I wasn't going to do it. It was my idea, right? And I thought, well, you know, what's good for you guys? I should step in.
Technically, you had more of a head start than the rest of us.
That's true.
I didn't start it until like mid-December. And I had one lyric line that kind of stuck all the way through, and the rest of it was scrapped about maybe three or four times. I like the idea of the having the, as you said, Michael, the time limit, like the constraint of having to write it by a certain amount of time, because I will plunk away on things forever.
Yes, that's true.
I'm really bad at that. And then nothing gets finished, right? Or you get tired of the song and you throw it out.
Yeah.
But
it gets overworked.
But, you know, something – actually, here's a songwriting tip. If you're ever in a rut, you don't know what to write, give yourself some challenges. And you might write something that you wouldn't have otherwise written. And that's exactly what happened with my experience on it all.
Right. How about you, Neil? What was your experience?
I was a little bit when we first introduced the challenge, I was like, yeah, minor key, no sweat. Happy lyric, don't know. Not exactly my wheelhouse there, right? But then I very quickly got the idea, like what the topic was going to be about, and I think the title, not even the hook of the title, but just the title, what it was going to be, and then I got like one little verse done, and then I got stuck, and I was like, I don't know what to do with the rest of this, and to get out of that rut, actually, then flip to the music side. So, okay, we'll just see if I can come up with a minor chord progression. And once I did that, and I had a conversation with sort of impromptu conversation with a singer-songwriter friend of mine at a show. I just happened to meet him, and I showed him my lyric, and he just gave me a little bit of advice. And I'm like, something after that sort of clicked. And I'm like, okay, now I can write the rest of the lyric. I've got the music bed more or less. And after that, it sort of came together. But it came together sort of in pieces. Like I did a bit here and a bit there, and then I put on a bridge afterwards. And it wasn't a lot of back and forth, but you know, like it was a bit at a time because one time I was at the meetup and I just happened to sit at the piano because I was there early and came up with the beginning of the chord progression.
Right.
And when I was on holiday in the Dominican Republic over the holidays, there was a baby grand in the lobby of the resort. And I was like, you know what? I need to write this bridge. Just sit down here. And that's where I wrote the bridge. So it kind of came together in pieces. But
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Phil, how about
you? It was a really interesting experience. things that I learned. One, it was interesting because I realized about halfway through that I actually already had a song that did this, but I didn't realize it was in a minor key until I actually sort of thought, hold it, is this in a minor key? And then I went through the melody and went, oh yeah, it's actually in E minor. Mm. I tend to not, but working with the minor keys was sort of an interesting experience. I think there's a difference also between, I think maybe next time we could do something like this, but instead of actually positive lyrics, because in some ways you can write positive lyrics on anything. It could be, this is really great, we're having some ice cream. You know, anything that's bad, you can actually just put nice words on it. Mm. A bigger challenge might be to write something that sounds happy on a minor key. I think that might be a little bit more challenging. When I started working with, because in a minor key, 1, 4, and 5 are minor. 2, 3, and 6 are major. And
three,
7.
Six and 7 are major.
3, 6. The 7 is not major. 7 is just, you know, a jerk, as it usually is.
No, in a major key, the 7 is diminished. In a minor key, the 2 is diminished.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, the 2 is diminished. That's right. Yeah, so the 3 and the 6 are major.
Yeah, 3, 6, and 7.
Yeah, 3, 6, or 7 are major, so that's kind of different. Mm-hmm. So trying to start off with a minor key, I think back in the 80s when the Police first hit, there was a lot of bands doing that kind of white reggae thing, and they used a lot of, you know, E minor to A minor chord progressions. Mm-hmm. And even back then, I realized those songs that we were writing weren't very good. So I have like, it's kind of like, you know, when you drink too much Jack Daniels as a teenager and you throw up and then you never want to have Jack Daniels again. It was kind of that sort of.
Right. you have created an aversion therapy.
Yes. Yeah. So it took me a while to kind of come up with sort of a chord sequence I liked. And turned out to be sort of an old chord sequence that I had used. And the verses is in a minor key, but the chorus and the bridge are in major, so I'm not sure if that's cheating or not.
Yeah.
I ran into the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just looked up, what's chords are in the key of A minor? okay, I'll write a song on that. Which it turns out that's not actually how it works.
It's all the white keys as well.
Yeah,
it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't have white keys on my guitar.
Sure you do.
So we're going to start off and go through our songs, and we'll sort of play about them. So so we'd love to hear your feedback from the audience, even if you're listening on the podcast. We're going to start off with Mike, but I want everyone to have a good time. But before we start, please.
Yes.
No wagering, okay? So, Michael,
at home, they can wager all they want.
They can.
We would have liked to have gotten some audience songs in, too, but...
We're still open to it,
but we'll keep doing this. We'll have another challenge and try to get more people involved. I think we'll just go with this. The only thing I will say is to listen for, I guess.
So what key? Now, what key?
This is in an A minor.
All right, for those of you scoring at home.
And I looked up what the chords were, and it was an A minor, a B diminished, a C, a D minor, an E minor, an F, and a G. So I used most of those. But I was having trouble getting the timing, and so what I did is I actually recorded a pulse, which I then played a guitar to, because I couldn't get the click track, the metronome was just driving me crazy. So I made a pulse to the metronome, then I made the guitar track to the pulse, and then I played the actual guitar line to the other guitar line, and that's what I sent to Neil, and then I re-recorded the guitar. However, I kept the pulse, so that's what the song starts with.
Okay, cool.
We'll go.
Okay.
And it's called Rich in Love. That. There we go. I'll talk to you in a bit.
Could I climb back in that double bed we share? But I pour your coffee in a cup and try not to wake you up. I kiss your head before I'm out the door. Our love can't pay the bills or heat our little home, but our love is a shelter from the storm. Our love can't get a better price on a TV, but our love can talk the birds out of the trees. In so many ways, we're more than poor enough. Fortunate we, rich in love. Rich in love. Rich in love. Two jobs and a million other things we gotta do. Trying to find some time for ourselves. Fight and fuck when we make up, cause that's what people do. Our love affair was rough at first. Now I know that you are worth all the gold that's in the earth. And I feel sorry for everyone else. Our love won't settle petty arguments of ours, but our love has extraordinary powers. Our love can pick up all the crap that's in the hall, but our love is the strongest love of all. In so many ways, we're more than poor enough. Fortunate we, rich in love, rich in love, rich in love, rich in love.
All right. right, that's Rich in Love by Michael Proudfoot.
Great track.
Really cool stuff.
Nice drums. I like that Ringo fill.
Ringo fill? Yeah. Can't go wrong there.
So what do you think, Linda?
I really like your song, Michael.
Thank you, Linda.
I like it very much. Like is such a subjective word, and songs are such a subjective subject, but I really like it. I thought that it was arrestingly interesting, that it was written kind of like a story, and it started off as a bit of a storytelling song, and that was intriguing because it drew me in with your storytelling in the beginning with the specifics that you were giving us, like the TV and the climbing back into the bed and pouring the coffee and trying not to wake her up with the kiss and all those things. And I like it. I like the specifics very much. I thought it was sentimental in a nice way and romantic and very pleasing in that way. It's kind of a romantic song, I found it to be. Musically, I liked it, too. I thought the acoustic guitar track was really lovely. In terms of the arrangement, I also thought it was kind of interesting. I thought there's kind of a pre-chorus. I don't know if you call that a pre-chorus, but there's a verse, and then there's these lines that start with, "Our love won't pay the bills." Mm-hmm. To me, that's kind of like a pre-chorus, because it's different every time.
Yep.
It comes mm-hmm. along before the chorus.
And it certainly builds up to the chorus.
Yeah. It's marked as a pre-chorus, too.
Yes.
It's a different amount of takes up a different amount of time both times that you use that pre-chorus. So that's like there are three lines of pre-chorus at the second.
Oh, the part. Second,
yeah, second time around, longer. Yeah.
And I think that makes your song interesting without taking it out of like feeling out of place for anything. It stays in place and it's pleasing sort of in like it's an organized thing, but it's also a little bit different both times that you use it for that pre-chorus, which I like, and I think it works. I don't think that's that easy to do.
I thought it was interesting the way you handled your chorus, where the Rich in Love, which is your, you know, the name of the song. It was kind of an interesting approach. Instead of kind of making it sort of high and kind of jumping up, it was kind of actually a little bit down. It sort of dropped down a bit.
The main vocal does. Background vocals go up.
Yeah, it was an interesting, but it still seemed like a chorus, which I thought was an interesting.
Well, it is kind of an understated chorus, but it's that doesn't make it not a strong chorus. It is still a very, very strong chorus, and that is your hook, and that is your the meat of the song right there.
Yeah,
and it's really well. Like the nice thing is you repeat "Rich in Love," "Rich in Love," "Rich in Love." But the melody changes every time. The chord changes every time. It's like a nice. It adds. It's a rich chorus, even though it's understated.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. I thought.
Yeah.
Now on your chords, you have. You have different bass notes, like, you know, like C under a G type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was that on purpose, or did that just kind of come up after you sort of came up with the chords?
No, that was on purpose. I just liked the bigness of it.
Right.
So that's how I tried playing it one of the times, I think, where it just went to a straight C, but it sounded a little empty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, because that often when you invert a chord like that and put a different bass note on it, then it adds a little bit more tension,
right.
Especially to a major chord.
Yeah, that's right? True.
So that turns it doesn't quite turn into a minor, but you know what I mean.
Like yeah,
it adds a little bit of tension to it.
Yeah, and I love the how specific you are in terms of the images, which is really cool. I thought, you know, the pour your coffee in a cup and try not to wake you up, kiss your head before I'm out the door. Those are really kind of wonderful, sort of like images things. Which
that part came kind of quickly. And then when I wrote the second verse, I was like, oh, how do I do the same thing? So that's one of the places I got stuck. Yeah. Just trying to find something that was specific about, because the idea being that, you know, it's not easy, the day-to-day of being in love or mm-hmm. being in a partnership. And it's the big emotions that you feel, being rich in love, that gets you through the annoying stuff, like all the crap that someone leaves in the hall or, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's a point here.
Yeah. That was another good specific. I wanted to point out the more generalized thing, like a million other things. And I wondered if changing that to something more specific would help, or it would be something that would improve.
Right, but the idea of being, you know, when you're totally overwhelmed, like you've got, you know, you've got two jobs and a million other things. So the exaggeration is just the sense of the frustration or the overwhelming, you know, number of things that demand your attention that get in the way of just having time with the person that you love.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I like about the lyric is that it's not overly saccharine happiness, but it's a good happiness. And even the way you threw in the F-bomb, it's the happy version
of the F-bomb.
Exactly. It's the best possible F-bomb.
Well, and I think, you know, if you would use swear words, it needs to actually seem natural.
And it rhymes. There's an infernal rhyme there. So even if I cleaned it up, it wouldn't have been as good.
That's true.
I kind of disagree about that in that particular situation because I feel like the song's very romantic and that word being there, being used in an affectionate way, yes, but I felt it was out of character with the rest of the song.
Well, you don't know me then.
I don't know you.
But all he does is swear.
I have to let you know that I disagree.
If I can address one thing about what you were talking about, Mike, earlier in terms of the minor, keeping it in a minor key. And if I can explain very quickly why just picking the chords that line up with an A minor it's not even half the answer. It's kind of like every minor key has a relative major key.
Yes.
And in the case of A minor, it's C major. And the reason that they're relative keys is that they use the same notes, which means they use the same chords. So the chords that occur in A minor, the ones that are natural in A minor, are the same chords that are natural in C major.
Right.
Right? So then you have to start looking at what's the actual progression of the chords to verify that it's in a minor key, and where do the melodies start and where do the melodies end, where do they
resolve? And also whether or not you're using the flat third, too. I mean, a lot of times your melody needs to use the flat third, you know, to reinforce the minorness, you know.
In case there's anyone listening who doesn't quite understand what's going on, you're not alone. I'm not versed in musical theory.
Yeah.
So,
but talking about being versed in things, we'll be right back after we get versed in this.
For those of you just joining us, you're listening to Song Talk Radio. We're streaming on songtalk.ca, and tonight it's our songwriting challenge results. Don't forget we love to hear from you even during the show. So share your thoughts and questions with us at Song Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or send an email to feedback@songtalk.ca. We'll share your thoughts and answer your questions here on the show. And coming up on Song Talk Radio next week, February 4th, The Illusion of Authenticity with Mr. Blair Packham, which will be really super interesting and philosophical, I'm sure.
You're doing some close-up magic?
Yeah. February 11th, it'll be our love theme show. So we'll be sharing some songs, some love songs that we love to love. We're going to record it before Valentine's Day and podcast it just after Valentine's Day, I think.
Okay.
We're on Valentine's Day. And February 18th, Toronto blogger and PR professional Eric Alper will be here to talk about how songwriters can work with PR professionals, how to find a good one, and more good stuff.
Just to get back to the core thing, I understood because my chorus is starts in a C, and so
yeah, your rest of your song is the verse is kind of minor, but the rest of it is kind of major.
Yeah,
which is okay.
It was a learning process,
Okay,
I got it wrong. Let's see if someone else got it right.
Don, our tech genius. No, it's Don. We're going to do you. Let's talk about your song, "The Sweetest Thing."
Shall I just play it?
Well, why don't we talk about it first so that we can know what to listen to. It's an A minor?
Yes, it is. It is an E minor. And it switches over to E minor during the chorus, but only the first half of the chorus. It switches back to A minor.
All right. And what was the writing process like this like?
Lots of revisions. Good thing it was Christmas time. I had lots of time, right?
Yeah.
And as I said, I threw away a lot of the words and came back to it. I just started on the acoustic guitar. That's what I do with most songs. And once I had a basic sketch, then I throw that into my DAW and then start throwing drums and different instruments at it.
Okay. What DAW are you using?
I'm using Logic.
You are using Logic.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, the latest one, right?
Right.
Me
it,
too.
It comes built with a drummer built in. It's not always the greatest drummer, but sometimes it works pretty good for a songwriting tool.
Does the drummer show up drunk sometimes? Because that's a big part about being a drummer, I think, actually.
Neil, would you like to defend yourself?
Yeah, I'm a good drummer. Don, do you always complete writing the song before you hit record, or do you record like little bits and pieces, like record a verse when you've got it worked out and then go back and...
No, I actually figured out the whole thing first on acoustic guitar, and then I start constructing it in Logic. Sometimes it's not always like that, but most of the time that's the way I work, right? And I just keep writing it and combing through it over and over until things sound right. A lot of weird grunting in notes coming out of my mouth that make absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
That's how I start out because I don't. I totally know where I want to go, but I don't know what the word is yet.
Right, right.
So that's pretty common for me. So I won't play any of that.
What was the most difficult part of this process, do you think?
The most difficult process is writing the words. I don't usually write all happy words all the time.
Yeah.
I think it's a natural human instinct. Like, you know, something nice happens over here, but everybody's fixated on the car accident. I mean, they're automatically drawn to the negative, or there's a cynicism or what have you. But this was very difficult for me. And that's why I had thrown up the words so many times, because I didn't want to get anybody an audible diabetic coma from too much sweetness. Mm-hmm. Although the song ended up becoming Sweetest Thing.
That's true.
Ironically.
All right, so why don't we listen to The Sweetest Thing by Don Thompson. The Sweetest Thing by Don Thompson. That was brilliant, Don.
I love it.
Thank you.
Fun stuff. What'd you think, Neil?
I really like it. I mean, again, like this one sounds very, very minor because there would have been spots where, you know, I would have been like, if I was to write this with you, I'd be like, no, use a major chord there. But you kept it. You kind of kept it.
Well, I did cheat a little bit there. That's why I changed keys on the chorus so I could use the D instead of the D minor.
And that's the nice thing about it is that when you go to the chorus, you go to the D minor, which you hadn't used in the verse. And then when you get to the bridge is a nice change as well because you go to E minor and B minor, which are perfectly in key, but you haven't used them before. So it definitely changes the flavor.
Yeah.
Because each section, you know, has that differentiation.
I liked how you broke the line, I hear laughter echoing all about. I like the way you handled that line. I thought that was really cool. That really gave it a lot of personality. Michael,
what do you mean broke the line?
Just the way he sort of delivered it, you know?
There was a bit of a pause in between. Yeah.
Well, I really love your vocals. I think they're kind of raspy and authentic sounding and very listenable. Like your the singing part, like just fantastic. I love the ending, even though it's just a repetition of that. I think that's a really nice title. It's got a lovely, simplicity to it. And I like that you repeated it. I don't often say that because sometimes I feel like there's too much repetition in pop music, but I like that. I also wish that you had repeated something else in the song. Like I kind of thought this bridge that has the same first line, the sweetest thing you have in spades. I almost thought that maybe I wonder if what would happen if you had put a repeat of verse one in the bridge spot with different chords. That was what I was like toying with in my mind. I kind of like to hear it that way. Mm-hmm. It's a great song. You did a great job on it. I really, really like it.
Yeah, I think it sounds great. It sounds really nice. I had a maybe this is to what you're saying, Linda, or maybe it's just the nature of writing songs in a minor key. I didn't really notice the chorus kicking in. And I don't know if that's because you're going from a minor to another minor. It didn't take off as much as, like, the outro with the repetition, that actually sounded more like a chorus to me, and I'd wished that had been in there more often.
Yeah, I know. At the songwriters' meetup, I got similar feedback about that. Actually, I had the wrong thing. I called the bridge a chorus, and I called the chorus a pre-chorus and all that. And it was very confusing, right?
But I think lyrically, that's also part of the confusion is because you're starting what you call the bridge with the same lyrics as you start a verse with. And I found myself getting, I liked the journey through the song, but I found myself getting a bit lost in the geography of it.
Yeah, the chorus doesn't stand out as a really, really distinctive, strong chorus because it has a lot of similarities with the verse. I mean, sure, you change the chord, but the melody shapes are kind of the same. It's about as wordy as the verses are, which is why your outro sounds more like a chorus because it's a simple melody. It's a simple
it's
lyric.
It's more drawn out. Right? It's
more typical chorus.
I agree, and the two choruses are different.
Yeah, and the choruses are different.
Also, so they don't really hang together as chorus because they're quite different. Not that you can't have different choruses, but
no.
Something's wrong there.
Are you sure you've had different choruses? No. I thought part of the definition of a chorus was the repetition of it.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I think as songwriters, we can wind up being too wordy. Because I was listening to the Pixies, Here Comes Your Man, just came up on YouTube. And it's a great song, but the chorus is just, here comes your man, here comes your man. And that helps it become a chorus because it's so distinctive and it is the chorus. And I think it's easy as songwriters to go, we have to fill up this words. It has to be all this different. There's so much stuff there, which is a style in itself, but I think
I think it's the discipline as a songwriter. Even when we have guests come in to the show and we have the lyric sheet, if it goes onto a second piece of paper, I'm thinking, this is too long.
This is too much words, yeah.
Of course, it can be. It depends on what you're doing. But, there's,
And that's more or less in a pop format or some songs, they will fill 6 minutes, and it's a great journey.
Yeah, yeah.
But as a pop song, if you need 2 pages for your lyrics, you need to rethink your song.
Well, that's true, because, I mean, last week, our guests, you know, they didn't even put bridges in their songs, because they just had verses and chorus.
Yeah.
So eventually, like, songs are just going to be, like 4 chords. That's going to be it.
It's
four chords.
Well, we've been there before, many times.
No, just 4 chords in a row. That's going to be it. It's going to be, like, songs are going to be 5 minutes. 5 seconds.
Yeah, just be hook, hook, hook.
Yeah, hook, 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 that's it.
Well, look at the song that won Best Song at the Grammy.
Full of hooks.
Yeah.
Three chord song. It's a verse, verse, chorus, half verse, chorus, and then another, I think just another half verse, chorus, and then a strange thing at the end. But three chords throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
Minor song, too. It's C minor, G minor, and D.
Mm. Oh, right.
And everything follows with those chords. Everything keeps those chords going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you can do a lot. I mean, you can do a lot. You can repeat the same chords and just
absolutely.
You know, that'd be a good challenge. Same chords all the way through, but
yeah,
write the verse.
Neil, what's your song coming?
So my song is called "Music in Me," just because I had to do a little bit of soul searching and be like, okay, well, what would be a happy topic to me? And my mind immediately went to my wife, but I really wrote her a love song, so that's done. And
and then
the runner up is music, because music has been a joyful part of my life for most of it. And the only weird thing I found about writing this song was that, similar to what I was talking about with Dawn's song, is that if I was just doing this as a normal song, I would have picked a major. I would have picked a major chord.
Yeah.
But I was trying to force myself to go minor. And that ended up, to me anyway, kind of making my melodies a little bit wonky and a little bit off kilter that I wouldn't have normally have written. So it definitely changed my melodic shapes into something that was a little bit unexpected.
Which is good.
And it just pushed it a little bit.
Which worked out great.
Which I think still works.
It's so unique and so original.
Yeah, so it gives it a different kind of flavor, but that's kind of the idea.
Yeah, the reason you want to give yourself a song prompt challenge is that it's forcing you to do things that you wouldn't normally do.
Exactly.
You know, you don't use the same chords. And that's actually why Joni Mitchell, she tunes her guitars all over the place.
Yeah, and her melodies are amazing.
So that she says that her fingers don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, it pushes your brain to hear different things. That's an important thing.
My fingers don't know what to do with regular tuning.
You don't want to think too much.
Yeah. Okay.
Never been my problem.
Let's hit it.
All right, that was Music and Me by Art Neil Modi. That's really cool. So let's talk about the verse and the chorus, because that's a really unusual jump to the chorus. What is that?
What do you mean, what is it, in terms of what?
Well, it doesn't, like, normally, like, you know, chorus, you go, like, to a fifth or a fourth or...
Yeah, that's sort of the sharp three minor, I don't know, sharp three minor, does that make sense?
So sharp three minor?
Yeah, like, it's the minor, but it's the sharp three, so, like, if the verse is in A minor, which kind of, well, it mostly is, it is A minor, then, yeah, the chorus goes to C sharp minor, which, I don't know, it just felt right, sounded right.
Okay, yeah, so I'm just trying to figure out how you figured out. You just hit this chord. You
went, yeah, just hit that chord and go, that's the right one. Yeah.
Okay, so it wasn't like thinking it was like a relative fifth or third.
No, certainly not.
Oh, cool.
You weren't being schematic about it.
It was not strategic. It was just like hit that chord. And maybe I tried a couple of different chords and then I settled on the C minor 7. I was like, yeah, that's
it. Really made me think of Oingo Boingo.
Yeah.
There's the band, which is
Danny
Elfman. Is that Danny Elfman?
That's Danny Elfman, yeah.
Yeah, because he always did really unusual sort of.
Yeah, they were very good about being very syncopated and making really interesting musical choices.
Yeah.
All the way. He's got format.
And he's got some weird melody shapes as well.
Like, yeah.
Was
that the band who did Hi, Dad, I'm in Dad? Hi, Dad,
no,
I'm in Jail?
No, that's Was Not Was.
Was Not Was, yeah, which is a fine song.
Yeah.
So what do you think, Linda?
You know, that the where it changes chords to the chorus, from the verse to the chorus, with that weird chord change, it really makes sense of the exercise that you went out to, that you started with, which is make it in, keep it minor, but make it sound happy, because it's just kind of like a happy leap into the Music and Me part.
Right.
It sounds kind of like it goes to a happy place, but it's still a minor,
yeah,
which is brilliant. You did it.
Thank you.
Kind of accomplished what was...
Yeah, because I was trying to make it sound happy, even though, yeah, minor, but...
Yeah,
and
true.
That's what makes me laugh about it.
It all sounds happy.
Yeah. But also...
To you, if you'd gone up a little bit, like, I don't know if you're singing a third to the... if you sang the fifth, it might have sounded even happier still. Because you're at Music and Me.
Yeah.
You're at Music and Me.
Yeah, yeah.
It might have been even...
It might have lifted a little bit more, for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
But...
it will sound a little too Broadway musical theater, I think.
I wouldn't worry about that.
No.
You've got ways
kind of there anyway.
It's incredibly danceable. Like, you can't help but start bounce. I can't help but stop bounce when I'm hearing this song when it comes right on. And I think the main hook of your song is the really ear-catching full stop that you have that comes in.
The syncopated rhythm thing, yeah.
There's a stop, like a full stop.
Oh,
in the rhythm.
Going to the bridge, you mean?
I mean, dun-dun-dun.
The syncopated beat thing.
That is the hook, right?
Right, yeah.
Lyrically, I had the exact same comment as I had about Dawn's song, which is, or a question maybe, why did you make the choruses different? Is it actually helping the song to make the choruses different?
Well,
like they're
I have
similar.
Something else to say, so yeah.
You have something else to say.
Yeah.
I feel like that I could grab the song even more. It already grabs me already, but if there was something that was repetitive about it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's not really anything that quite is repetitive. And if you could amalgamate the choruses, it would help me as a listener.
I think it's an interesting point.
Yeah.
When you have, it's all about how much complexity you have, because you have that's a really complex song, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's like you don't have straight beats, you don't have straight melodies, you have like jumping around a lot, which is really cool. But you have like so much complexity.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just kept like all the lines in your chorus the same except for one, you'd still have some variation. But still have kind of enough of a strong chorus, you know? Because I think I understand what you're saying. It's just like there's so much stuff, especially on... Although, you know, there's something to be said about a song that, you know, you have to listen to more than once.
Who's got time?
Who's got time?
Well, I would be happy to be able to park somewhere. Like, it bounces a lot. And if I could sort of park in the chorus and just kind of, like, feel like I know you, I love you, I would like that.
I love songs that talk about songwriting, like in Leonard Cohen, you know, the first, the fifth, the minor, it's a beautiful line.
I kind of borrowed from Leonard Cohen for that bit, yeah.
Now, but is there too much of that here? You think?
Yeah, that's for the listener to decide. I don't think it's.
I was.
I love
off
it, though,
the top when you talk, use the syncopation as a lyric, but there isn't syncopation at that point, and so from then on, I was waiting for when it was like your minor
to line
minor,
it up and, with the lyric. Yeah,
yeah,
which I didn't quite.
Or when you say harmony, I really wanted to hear harmonies there.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, but is that a bit too sort of?
I wasn't
twee,
trying
though?
To be kitschy about it, like that sort of thing. But
yeah, well, so that's
I think
what
if
I'm, like,
you're
wondering.
Singing about. What you're singing about,
yeah.
It's not, because that's what you're talking about. If you're talking about that you like harmony, let's hear it so the listener shares in your enjoyment. You know,
the only place I actually did do that, which I don't know how subtle it was, but in the bridge, ones, threes, through the ones and threes and fives, when I hit the fives, I actually introduced the 5/4 measure there. The rest of the song is in 4/4, but I just inserted one more beat.
I thought it was kind of cool.
Wait, it's a little subtle, right? But that's the only time I actually lined it up with the lyric.
And what's interesting is, like, you have A minor, G minor for your verse, which isn't an especially unusual chord progression. It's like one in seven, right?
Well, no, the natural seven would be G major, right?
In A minor?
Yeah, it would be G major, but G minor.
It'd be the flattened seven, huh?
No. Please, listeners. Send in the answer.
That's right.
They'll be added.
I have
the
answer. Or G7. My song's in the same key.
Yeah,
A minor.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
The lyrical content, I'm fear that it might alienate. Maybe it's like a genre.
Yeah, it's for
it's a niche. It's a niche for a niche market.
Yeah,
really.
Certainly.
But I kind of love. Yeah, it's like I kind of love that stuff. But I'm not sure if it's just like. You know, singing a song about plumbers and you have to be a plumber and you're talking about the Flargen flange.
Mm-hmm.
You go, I love that man.
You don't have to be a weatherman to know which way the wind blows.
All right.
That's right.
Before we run out of time.
Okay, Phil.
We got to hear your tune.
All right. Well, I'll just do it kind of fast.
Do you mean the tempo or you'll just truncate it?
One, two, three, four.
The bridge is brilliant.
Yeah. There's lots of stuff you didn't.
Right. So,
all right. So tell us about this low number.
This was working in the key of B minor, which is the saddest
of
the keys.
Finally, one of us isn't doing a song in A minor.
but instead of doing the... this is using the... the one and the, which is the third, which is my major, and then the A. That's the verse.
Uh-huh.
The chorus goes into G because I love doing those kinds of things. And then that's very major. I love doing those things because stepping up or stepping down one tone kind of forces you into some interesting ways of trying to get back into the root key, and that's always a fun thing.
Yeah, true.
And then there's the bridge, which I'm actually very happy with. I just finished off, which is in C major.
Okay.
So are you staying all in the same key, or are you actually
changing keys? They're different keys.
So for the verse and the chorus and the bridge are all different keys?
There's a few borrowed chords.
But are they connected, and which way are they connected?
No, they're different keys. It's like the G isn't very much G, and I think we're running out of time.
Let's hear this song. Can you hear any of this?
Double the tempo. Let's go.
All right.
Here we go.
It's a sin. We keep on running round again, and all the tears that we're putting in, and all the spies that they had to send to you. You're the one. When we're outside and we're having fun, don't you talk into the joking gun. I'll be the one to have done the sun for you. And here I stand, knowing all I do, never hide my heart from you. And here I stand, knowing all I do, will never take my eyes from you. I'll go right into the bridge right now. And you can tell the ones around me, you can be the same way too. There won't need that much to keep me standing here, so hold the tug around. And then it just kind of goes on.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's kind of a... Yeah, too bad we didn't have more time. It's fun doing those different kinds of keys for the course. It's a nice way of pushing yourself into doing things. And it's like, again, doing the step. B-sharp to the G major or the C major. So
bridge. I really like the bridge.
Yeah, it's
great. It's certainly a happy lyric.
I really like the chorus.
Yeah, it's a fun chorus.
The chorus is really good.
That's good.
It works.
We need to have a longer show, I think, because that's all the time we have tonight on Song Talk Radio.
That's great.
Special thanks to Linda Lavender. Thanks so much for coming out.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
Send us your...
Again, Linda.
Yes, send us your...
Buy or stream Linda's new record.
Yeah, how do we get
the
more of your stuff?
Unforeseen.
All right, send us your impressions via Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Song Talk Radio. Stop by the website to find out how you can be a guest on our show. If you're in the Toronto area, join us for the next Song Talk Meetup, Monday, February 24th, 7 to 10 p.m. Stop by the site to find out how. Thanks for Don on the tech board. We'll listen to it. We'll be here next weekend. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Major. Yeah. So the lyrics sort of don't follow that mood change from the minor to the major.
So.
I really like your lyrics.
This was really again, I wish we had more time because I actually used
we're still recording.
Oh, okay.
On podcast world.
That is true. That's true.
You don't have to buy by the yard.
That is true.
You could do the song and we put it on the podcast, right? The whole song.
But now that he's denigrated the lyrics, who's going to want to listen?
Yeah, yeah. He's going to change them anyway.
But it's an interesting process because normally I would like record the song, listen to it, and then just walk around and try to figure out words, mm-hmm. Like throwing out thousands and thousands of words. That's the way I always worked. But I actually used TuneSmith and Rhyme Genie this time.
Okay.
And I actually sat down and used Rhyme Genie to sort of build up the rhymes and kind of wrote in a really different sort of way where I just like wrote tons and tons and tons of verses and kind of pulled them out, which is a very different way than I would do it.
You found the rhyme word first and then wrote the line?
I would usually figure out the opening line. The it's a sin or you're the one.
Because
your
verse was all A-A-A-A rhyme.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Which is kind of a stingy kind of thing to do. It's Rhyme Genie. It's a real, like, it took me a while to actually use a tool.
He doesn't like that rhyme scheme.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't?
A-A?
Well, he's not here.
Yeah. Always.
Well, he should have been here.
Just warning you.
Yeah, well, he should have been here.
Not here to say so, is he?
Does he know, do you know why?
It's too predictable.
It's predictable,
It's very hard to make interesting.
It sounds a bit, sometimes when you do it like when I end up doing that, it sounds a bit childlike.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say childish, but childlike.
It's the type of song, because like in a folk song or sort of an older folk style song, it's a bit, in traditional music, it's more common, so it might work better there than in a...
Yeah, and I think with this, because the there's a lot of rhythm in the verse, do 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 do. So I think when you if you had too many complex images and rhyme schemes, it might get a little bit kind of confusing. And I think so that's why the rhymes are so tight. But Rhyme Genie worked out really well. It took me a while to kind of get used to using that tool. I mean, I've tried using rhyme dictionaries, but I can never actually figure them out.
Well, these are near rhymes, anyways. They're not quite... This one, not... They're all AAA, but these are near rhymes. They're not quite... That helps for that, the sound of being, repetitive and uninteresting.
Yeah.
Same, well, Cabaret, Stay and Away, Blind, doesn't bother me, though, in this song. Mm-hmm. It doesn't bother me. It's...
But I didn't, like, I think it's having it all it was interesting because your stuff sounded positive. Neil, your stuff sounded positive, where I don't think this verse sounds very positive.
No.
It's sort
it's
of a darker.
Get to the chorus. Well, the chorus is major, so it's going to sound a little bit happier, but
the verse
the lyric is happier in the chorus as well.
Yeah, I mean that's the way it was. But I mean, originally when I first started off this song, it was supposed to be a darker verse and then kind of a chorus.
Mm-hmm. With the light shining on.
Yeah, I mean,
which is what it does right now. But if you want the whole thing to be happy, then it's a different.
Yeah, well this is really dark. It's like, things like you're screwing everything up. Well, not something like you're screwing everything up. It's, you're making bad decisions. But,
Well, when you get one of these assignments, isn't it great that you get a starting place and you get going as a song? And does it really matter in the end if you adhere to the rules of the assignment?
No,
it doesn't matter.
If your song works at the end,
no rules.
Who cares?
No
rules. Right?
Yeah. If you adhere too much to the lyric, it ends up sounding like an exercise rather than a song.
Yeah, that's true.
The assignment gets you started, and then you go from there. And
It's so interesting, though, because I think, Michael and I work in the same way. You come up with a song. You don't really know what key it's in. You just kind of come up with this thing.
Yeah, exactly. For me, it comes from any number of directions. That's an interesting chord change.
Yeah.
I wonder what I'll do with that. Or sometimes you park it, and then something else occurs.
Yeah, exactly.
That's an interesting idea. And then, that's an interesting melody line with lyrics to go to it. And I wonder where that goes to, what the song's about. And I think that's lyrically where I end up with my song, was I got the melody of TV as a window to a world that isn't there. I go, that's interesting.
That is a cool line.
And I go, no amount of wishing makes it so, which is kind of folksy. And then, then I got to the place where there's a couple who don't have a lot of money. They share a double bed, and, he has to get up early to go to work, so they don't, And then it just sort of took me from there. But it was initially the chord change, and then it was this melody, this melody on a lyric that I didn't know where it was going to go, and it was sort of the detective work of tracking it down led me to the song.
Because I actually had a finished off song that actually does sound happy and is actually in a minor key, but I didn't realize it because I just wrote it a couple of years ago, and then I went, and then just playing it again, going, I guess it is in a minor key, but I just never thought of it because that's not how I.
Yeah, it's interesting to go back now of your old songs and go, is this a minor key and happy, or is it a major key and sad?
What really is happy? Like, what does that even mean?
That's subjective, right?
Again, it's like sometimes is being in love necessarily happy?
It depends on how it is. I mean, if it's...
I didn't hear
is being in love necessarily happy?
Yeah. Well, I think, it depends on how you handle it. If it's like... every day makes, you make the sunshine, yes. If it's, why don't you call me back, then no.
Well, every day you make the sunshine is not a happy song if you're a vampire.
Yeah.
Or if you have very sensitive skin and you have no shade.
And of course, there's a difference between happy and saccharine, right? That's what I really like about Mike's song is that it's the verses are actually a little bit on the dark side, right? But then the light happens in the chorus.
Yeah.
Right. Which is where you want it. Which is kind of what you're shooting for, Phil. Right. But it works because it's the setup for the happy, which makes it not saccharine.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I mean, technically, the song is probably more in major than it is in minor, but it's a place to start.
I think that Neil wins for having the most adhered to
the most chords.
That's all that counts.
The most chords,
but adhering most faithfully to the assignment.
Yeah.
And successfully completing it.
So listen to a chorus that's all or mostly all minor chords. I go, okay, that's really interesting.
Yeah. It was only at the end of the verse and the end of the chorus that I can't do another minor.
Yeah.
I had to go major at the very end.
And it still made the chorus a little inconclusive. But again, I wasn't sure if that was the vocal following the same kind of downturn or if the you can't really have a whole bunch of minor chords and have it sound conclusive. But I enjoyed everyone's songs, but I find yours kind of the most instructive, or I learned the most from the exercise and from what you created.
Nice.
And it would be like, I think you could actually make your chorus more chorusy, I think, if you change the melody.
Mm-hmm. That's the feedback I got at the meetup.
Actually. Yeah, because it's, your verse melodies are pretty wacky, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. If you had like your chorus, keeping your chords, but make the lines a little bit more plain? Not plain, but not quite as wacky, you know?
Simpler.
Or just wacky at the end or something.
Maybe not even as many syllables, you know?
Yeah.
I always find that if you have in a verse something that is fairly packed, it makes things staccato or it makes things very intricate.
Yeah.
And then if you go to a chorus that kind of just hangs and has just one or two extended, sustained melodies.
Yeah, it's like it's something
really
hard
a nice
to do.
Contrast.
It's something I think I did it once about when I wrote a song about death, and it's all just lyric. The chorus is
I've come.
it's a major, isn't it? It's major, minor.
Yeah.
It's
minor. Yeah.
Major accident.
It's called, but the chorus is just I've come to take you all home. But that's the only time I've actually had a chorus where it's just one line repeated, which is a really good technique. I just don't think that way for some reason. Until I hear other people do it, I'm going, yeah, that's really good.
Well,
I should try that.
I
recently got very specific feedback about this song from someone, well, we all know, I don't want a name drop, but he said, get rid of the bridge. You don't
Sting?
Need the bridge.
Was it Sting?
Yeah, it was Sting. He said, it doesn't rhyme enough. he said the bridge is kind of a buzzkill, like it just kills the energy. You don't need it. And I actually tried like a quick edit on my final and just cut out the bridge part. And then I'm like, yeah, it kind of works without the bridge. Like,
well, because you have so much happening. I don't think you necessarily
And that
need
was the other
bridge.
Thing he said is that there's a lot of complexity in this. You know, another layer with the bridge.
Yeah.
With the tempo change and blah, blah, blah.
Whereas like most songs are just like, you know, three chords all the way through. Yeah. So you need a bridge to kind of make the last bit.
I think that bridge is brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
It takes the energy of the song into this other place, but it's still it fits and it goes smoothly into this other place. It's dreamy, it's thoughtful, it's you know, just
it's jazz,
especially for
it's
a song jazz. That's about music.
Do the DJ.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm thinking. I got the radio edit and the
but if you made the choruses the same, it would help that problem though.
Yeah, that is true. That's a good point.
Yeah, what do you think of this?
Yeah, you mentioned that
line
earlier.
One and two from there, line three and four from here. There's your one chorus.
I was going to say,
you realize that to our listeners, that's probably not going to come through as interesting. Pointing at pieces of paper.
we're recording it, I suppose.
What are you referring to? Is what I'm getting
at. I prefer this so as a chorus, but
I like,
that was
I,
my
I like
first
this.
Thought.
I don't guess the question is, are we going to
play by play here?
That
so Linda's pointing at the third line.
Yeah.
He's crossing out the third line.
Read it out.
She's going to the fourth line.
I'm not sure if this is going to be on the podcast or not.
So the first chorus was originally the first chorus originally was music and me through A, D, N, G, mild or spice. Angry, sad, or happy. That was the first chorus. Second chorus, music in me, a lifelong story, free therapy, from discord to harmony. And the discord to harmony was actually a line that Matt Gerber gave me. Mm-hmm. He suggested that line because I had something else before. And I'm like, I really like that, from discord to harmony.
Yeah, that's great.
Because it reflects emotionally and it reflects
yeah,
musically.
I like the
so
double meaning in the
double
second
meaning,
chorus
right?
better.
So I'm thinking it's music in me through A, D, and G, which also a music thing. Free therapy, from discord to harmony. Like, leave out the other ones. Because, a lifelong story, it kind of, that's evident through the rest of the song.
Yeah.
Angry, sad, or happy, that's maybe self-evident too, I don't know.
That would solve the problem for me.
All right.
And that's well, the most important
it's all about pleasing
so
Linda.
Neil is the winner, plus he's going to make some little alterations, and boom.
Are you getting rid of mild and spicy? Because I started thinking of sausage.
Well, that's the other thing. Mild or spicy is kind of,
it's just because you're hungry.
No, yeah, exactly.
Like songs
maybe
about
wrap
food.
It up and go get something to eat.
Yeah, I think it's, if this was my song, I would actually just have one chorus, but I would change the last line of the chorus.
To what?
Well, you know, that it would just, the chorus would be the same, but the last line would change each time.
Like this song?
Oh, okay.
Oh no. This is slightly like that.
Yeah, maybe.
This but is like that.
Yeah, that's true.
And I stand here knowing all I do. I'd never hide my heart from you. And I stand here knowing all I do. I'll never take my eyes from you.
Should have brought the gold.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, never thought about that. But yeah, it's just, I mean, that way you have like consistency, but you have, because I like those little twists. I like those little polishes where it's like the one word or the one line, or even if it's if it's just in the last chorus where there's a change, I think that's.
I would make it the same. Yeah. But can I ask you a question?
What? As long as it's in good taste, I don't see why not.
Well, what made you choose to use a Bronx accent on the last part of your song?
I love that. I love that. I thought it was so cool.
This Bronx exercise for me has been going down the rabbit hole. and going with things. Oh, I'll try that. Oh, I'll try that. And I was just doing a take
well
on it.
With
and it just came out that way. And I go, okay, I'll go with it. See what happens.
I love that. I think it adds such a bit of...
Yeah,
I'm a big
Brooklyn
fan of Bugs Bunny.
I think it was like a Brooklyn or Boston.
Yeah.
Boston,
Bronx,
Boston style.
What was the word again that you said?
It was three words, right?
Worth and Worth.
And now I know what you are. Worth. All the gold that's in the oil.
I thought that was really cool. It added like a little sort of...
It was pretty funny, yeah.
There's one, I forget, it starts with something.
It's playful.
Our love affair was rough at foist.
Yeah.
That's where it went into foist.
Well, that's the great thing about, you know, the Wizard of Oz song. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. My noodle lip, I would have to stay. And he does all these little fun things with words by mispronouncing them or kind of futzing around with them. And I love that.
A bit of character.
You know, it's again something I don't seem to do because I'm not really. My lyrics have never been that strong. But I love those little things where people take those words and they just twist them that way. And
there's something I noticed that, like, I've been
and
trying.
And also that part dropped out. It was the guitar drops out there. It's just the pulse and the drums and the bass.
Yeah.
And so there was some room to fill in the space with color.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What were you saying?
Something I was thinking I've been trying to use a bit more of in songwriting I'm doing, and that is, in addition to editing out a lot of words and trying to just make it simple, not even putting a word, but putting like an AA in or a ooh, ooh, or like a sound, like an ah, like an emotional sound of some sort. And I thought of something in your song, Dawn, that I might try if
now,
I were a co-writer.
Now, when you say that, do you mean like a woo-hoo or a...
Sort of like that, like in this song, and say that I would just... thought of it in this song. The sweetest thing you have in spades made me lose my mind in so many good ways. An offering and I float away to the sweet dreams. Hey, babe. Or, hey.
Yeah. It can be very sexy when that happens, too.
I think it can be. It can be to the nice expression of emotion. It's a vocalization, but it doesn't have to actually say anything. And it's used in music a lot that we hear on the radio. But I don't
Barry
hear
White.
It that much.
The ad-libs often make
the ad-libs.
Song.
Yeah.
It seems to be a bit of a struggle for like folk singers, no? Like, they don't do it. Folk writers don't do that. Yeah?
Maybe that's true.
Just a bit of a blanket statement. True.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Well, producers do it in the studio.
Oh,
like, they'll say, do this. Like, let's just have this.
They have sample
in there.
Packs with that stuff in there. Just tossing
I think maybe people are told to do that when they're recording something.
They do the
sometimes.
Crooner version of this song.
But I'm trying to sort of try to incorporate that kind of, you know, make a vocalization that expresses what you feel as opposed to putting words, filling it up with words.
Words, Well, I think it's like overwriting is something that's so easy to do as songwriters because it's hard just to go, here comes your man.
I think it's
here comes your man. It's hard to do
that. You know, what you're doing is worth listening to.
Yes. I was in a band and we did that. We did like the chorus was, don't tell me something, you know. And then the bass player sort of, you know, he didn't like it because he didn't. So he put words to that. And I was just going, but no, I wanted to go, because we didn't have a song that went, and, you know, that's sometimes that's a good way of just going, well, I want to do a song that goes, or does that, and then try to sort of fit that in, just even as an experiment, even if you don't keep it.
That would be a good songwriting challenge, actually.
Yeah. I think one thing we should do is we should all come up with a title.
For the others? Oh, a title.
A title, and then we all write the same title. I think the songwriters, they do that.
TSA did that.
That's interesting. Not now, but
a title.
I'll write you a title. I'll up for any challenge pretty well.
Yeah, no, it's a good way.
Always a good way to work.
So is this still part of the podcast?
Anyway. Yeah, we can make this part of the podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
We have to do some serious editing.
No,
we don't.
All right. So to wrap this up, let's just go around and succinctly, what did you learn from this, Phil?
I learned that I don't traditionally work in minor keys and that there's a difference between just writing positive lyrics and making something sound happy, which is something which Neil did, which I think I probably should have assume that what we're doing, but I just wrote positive lyrics on negative tonality, and I think that doesn't work quite as well. I think it makes it a little bit weaker because it's a bit incongruent. Yeah, it's incongruent.
Or incongruent.
Incongruent, yes. Or incongruent, yes.
And Don, what did you learn from this exorcise?
I learned that it's a lot of work. It was a lot of work. I learned something from your song, Michael, and that was, even though we were at the songwriters meetup, for example, we were talking and saying these words are a little bit down, but really there's actually quite a nice endearing sentiment in it, and that's the positive part of it.
Yeah, the payoff is very loving.
Yeah, that's what it is, and it's sort of like they're pointing to all their negative things that are in their life, but that's what makes their life the way it is and why they stick together. So it's an interesting way of writing, and even though maybe you have cheated a little bit and
musically considerably,
yeah, but there are no rules. I really enjoyed that, and the other thing, what I learned from Neil. No, sorry. I'm the tech guy, and I'm turning away. Just as bad as the people pointing at the pages.
Yeah.
Right? Can you hear that on radio?
Yes, you can. You're the rustling of the pages.
From Neil, I think the biggest thing I learned about on this one is smile or spicy.
Smile or spicy.
Songs can make me hungry.
That's right.
No.
It's a tasty lyric, is it?
Yeah. Really, what it was is about basically for me it was about writing something you wouldn't normally write. That was it. That was eye opening, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
Yeah,
quite and important. A deadline. I think a deadline's a great thing.
Oh yes, deadline. Yes.
Neil, what did you learn from this?
Yeah,
experience?
from my experience. I mean, again, just the. By forcing yourself to work a certain way, you end up sort of forcing your hand in directions maybe you didn't expect. So like I was saying, these are not melodies I would have written if I was allowed to use majors.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's kind of a different thing again. Like it just pushes you into a certain way. So it's an interesting way. Like more recently I've been writing melody first. Right, and then I develop a chord pattern based on the melody that I want.
Okay.
Here was the opposite direction. I came with a chord progression first, and then, which is kind of harking back to how I used to write, where my melodies were not that good, like many, many years ago, right? And I think I made it work, but I don't know. You know, like it's kind of the melodies are still a little wonky to me. And the other thing that maybe not a learning experience, but the whole deadline thing really came into effect because I got a really slow start. And the thing that clicked for me when I talked to Matt Gerber about it was he was encouraging me to stay with the clever. I was trying to go. I really wanted to write a heartfelt, earnest song about my relationship with music. Didn't quite get there because I was fighting the clever. And then when I just gave way to the clever, I just said, okay, fine, I'm just going to make it clever.
That might be your thing.
And which is kind of my thing, but I kind of wanted to push against that.
Let me see if I can
do like a really heartfelt, earnest song. Because like I find Mike's is very heartfelt and earnest. Like it's really nice.
Yeah.
Right? And I didn't quite get there. And maybe if I had more time, I would get there. It may not be as strong as my clever version. You know, that's something I would have liked to have explored in this.
Well, that's good for something to push you into a new area.
That's what – remember Blair Packham was talking about that. I think when he first came on, he was saying how he was always very much of a head writer. He wrote very much intellectually and trying – and remember we had Anna who just came up with these amazing songs in like 3 minutes. And she said, well, how'd you write? And she go, I don't know.
It just came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she's beautiful. So in touch with her heart.
Yeah.
Whereas I think it's easy for songwriters to get so into the head and, is that a minor or going up to the, to the major? Oh, it's a diminished. And not doing that heart stuff. It's a hard thing to balance, I think.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you learn, Linda?
Well, when Neil said he invited me because I brought the idea because I was involved with TSA, Toronto Songwriters Association, I was like, oh no, I'm not with them anymore. Like I don't go to those meetings anymore.
What?
How many of those songs did you do from there?
I got like I made a couple of two songs on my album were inspired by
there you go.
Assignments from with the TSA, which it was very successful. But I realized this is what I learned. I go in and out of wanting to get feedback about songwriting from other people in the world and wanting to just like you know, kind of be that lone wolf that just like, leave me alone. I'll write what I want to write when I want to write kind of thing. And that feeds me too, you know. And so sometimes I need the push and I'll go out there and try and get some, go to the meetings that you guys have and get some people to talk about my songs with me. And then sometimes I just was like, no, you know, I'm kind of like shut that down for now. I'm just going to stick with my own thing and not get pulled off track. And so I guess I learned that about myself and that it's okay. You know,
it's okay,
all
good.
You know, it's all good.
Yeah, I think you need both. Like I think the feedback you get from the meetups, the feedback that we give our guests here and stuff like that, that I, for myself, I find that that helps actually helps my intuition. That yeah. I can write a song by myself without getting any feedback, and I'm pretty confident that I'm making good decisions.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? Just because of all that stuff that's
learning.
In my brain.
That's learning.
It's learning.
Right? Yeah.
Well, and I think it also, I mean, there's different people. There's some people that have to go to a gym. And if they go to a gym, they'll work out. But they can still work out at home. They can do push-ups at home, but they just won't. They just need that kind of structure.
Exactly.
So it's just trying to find out how you work really well in a structure. I work really well in a band because when I'm in a band, there's a structure and it makes me go to the rehearsal and then I'm writing songs and I'm doing stuff all the time. Whereas if I'm just on my own, I'll come up with thousands of ideas that never get finished off because, well, you know.
Yeah.
You need a deadline.
I need a deadline, you know. Whereas it's like, a couple of times, like on the way to a show, I'm like writing the lyrics out for the song because, you know, in rehearsal, I've just been going, ah, skibbee, sandwiches. And, you know, I realize I can't in front of people.
You got a song about sandwiches.
You can never have too many words.
You can never have too many sandwiches.
Songs about sandwiches.
Oh,
sandwiches.
Tom's getting hungry again.
It's like milder spicy.
Milder spicy sandwich.
So are we done?
Yeah, I think we're done.
I think we're done.
All right.
Good night, everyone.
What did I learn?
What did you learn, Michael?
I learned I need to know. Well, first of all, I really enjoyed working with Neil. Thank you for doing the drumming on my song.
It
was a very nice process. So I learned that I like that. And I learned I need to learn more music theory. So, but it was good to try this, and you know that's something I know that I have to work on. So, it wasn't a revelation.
Mm-hmm.
That is it. Thank you all for listening. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.